In the 16th chapter of Acts, we find a midnight Bible story, which we've been studying for the last several weeks. And Paul and Silas have been arrested and put in prison overnight, as we know, if you've been here. And there was a great earthquake at midnight, and it set all the prisoners free. And it got the attention of everybody in Philippi, and including the magistrates that had arrested Paul and Silas to begin with. And in verse 35, we find, and when it was day, the magistrates sent the sergeants saying, "Let those men go, Paul and Silas." In verse 36, we find that the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, the magistrates have sent to let you go. Now, therefore, depart and go in peace." And you got to realize, from midnight to this time we read about in verse 36, the keeper of the prison, the jailer and his family got saved because they asked Paul and Silas, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house." That's in verse 31. And they were saved. He was saved and his household was saved. And if you read those verses above there, from where we just read, that the jailer took Paul and Silas in and washed their wounds and fed them. And in return, Paul and Silas, especially their apostle Paul, fed the jailer and his family, taught him Paul's gospel. And go to 2 Corinthians 4. So we got to remember that this would be something, wouldn't it, to have 3 or 4 or 5 hours of Paul's one-on-one teaching his gospel. What would that be like? And of course, they were like little sponges taking this in. And in 2 Corinthians 4:3, we find a little bit said concerning Paul's gospel message. And if you look up the word gospel and the number of times it's found in Paul's epistles, it's a lot. And you got to do that. That'd be a good study. It'd take you quite a bit of time. But in 2 Corinthians 4:3, Paul writes, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness," and we read about that last week in Genesis 1, "has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And so Paul's gospel message is the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, the light of the world. And there's a lot of things said about Paul's gospel, but we're not going to get into that this morning. So when the sergeants were sent by the Philippian magistrates to the keeper of the prison, telling him to let those men go, how do you suppose the Philippian jailer felt? I mean, this was the best night I've ever had, us and our family. Well, we find our answer and Acts 16:36, with the Philippian jailer's words to Paul. He said, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now, therefore, depart and go in peace." And we find with these words the jailer's relief and a little bit of a pleasure of mind and a joy of heart in this announcement, as he requested that Paul and Silas go in peace. And this is probably the very first time this Philippian jailer has ever released prisoners and said these words, "Go in peace." And this jailer, as he said, "Go in peace unto Paul and Silas," you must realize that he himself was still experiencing for the very first time the joy and peace of God that can only be found in the heart of a believer. And so you got to think that, man, I hate to see these guys go, and I'm so glad I can let them go. You know, go in peace. In John 14:27, you don't have to go there, but Jesus had told his disciples in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And now, at that midnight hour, this very same Philippian jailer had found this peace that only Jesus can give. You know, and back in verse 27, the same Philippian jailer, after the earthquake, would have killed himself, thinking that all the prisoners had been fled. Well, there was no peace then in his heart. But he heard the cry of our apostle Paul saying, "Do thyself no harm," in Acts 16:28. And he became a born-again believer, as we know, because of all this, these events. And now, as a born-again believer, the Philippian jailer can, with all confidence in Christ Jesus, say to Paul and Silas, "Go in peace," meaning, "Go in the peace of our mutual friend and Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has not only set me free, but has set you free too." Two different meanings there. And as free men, Paul and Silas could visit their newfound Philippian friends anytime they wanted to, when they would again visit Philippi. We all hate to say goodbye to our friends, you know, when they come from so far to see us, and we have good fellowship with them, and yet we want them to go in peace and have, you know, we pray for them. We constantly pray for them. We listen to their prayer requests. We request in prayers for our friends far and near. Years later, go to Philippians, the fourth chapter. Years later, the Apostle Paul would, from another prison, the one in Rome, he would address this very same Philippian jailer and the other saints at Philippi. And he wrote the following words, which would have deep meaning, especially to this Philippian jailer. Philippians 4:6. "Be careful," or "be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." This is Paul's gospel. And with the Philippian jailer able to say, "Go in peace," to Paul and Silas, he learned quite a bit of Paul's gospel that night, hadn't he? So, I mean, it doesn't say so per se, but you got to think about it, that it did. Now, to the sergeants that delivered this message to let them go, in Acts 16:37, we find that Paul said unto them, concerning the magistrates, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. And now do they thrust us out privily or privately? Nay, verily, but let them come and fetch us out. Now, we'll find here that Paul wasn't picking a fight with them, okay? He really wasn't. And we'll explain why. But a thought came to me this morning as I was praying about class. How would we have received Saul of Tarsus, that terrorist, as he came looking for believers, Christians, persecuting them even to death? How would we have received him? Would we have even wanted to talk to him? How would we have received the Apostle Paul? A little bit different, isn't it? Well, these magistrates, they were unbelievers, and they were really wicked men to our apostles, Paul and Silas, had them beaten and thrown into prison unjustly. And Paul stood up and says, we're not leaving. We're not going anywhere. You have them come down and fetch us out. I want to talk to them. In other words, we're going to have a face-to-face. And so we find in verse 37 that Paul was addressing the sergeants that were sent from the Philippian magistrates. And these sergeants were obviously present with the jailer when he told Paul and Silas to depart and go in peace. And we find here that our Apostle Paul wasn't afraid to speak to anybody because he was full of the Holy Ghost. And he'd already had a history of speaking boldly under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I'll let you look these verses up. But you'll find that stated in Acts 9:27, in Acts 9:29. You'll find it stated in Acts 13:46, and in Acts 14:3. And in Acts, the 13th chapter, you'll also read on his first missionary journey that Paul was bold to speak to the governor of the island there, that sorcerer, that false prophet named Bar-Jesus, was trying to keep the governor, the Sergius Paulus, from hearing the truth. And Paul wasn't afraid to speak to him. The governor. I probably told you this. When I was flying for this little airline, Wyoming Airlines, I had the governor of Wyoming on the airplane one day. And we had a policy, no smoking. And this guy was a chain smoker. He got in the airplane. We got up to cruising altitude. And he lit up a cigarette. And I turned around and I looked at him and I said, can't you read? No smoking. He glared at me. Took his cigarette and put it out. At the time, I didn't know he was the governor of Wyoming. Would I have said that had I known that? Yes, I would have. I wasn't too popular. Some of the things I said, even though I was correct. But is concerning the Apostle Paul. He was once again here in Acts 16:37, emboldened by the mighty working of the Holy Ghost the preceding midnight with all the events that had taken place. And he had realized that God had indeed given him the keys that unlocked the doors of Philippi for the Lord. And so the Apostle Paul, he stood up and under the unction of the Holy Spirit tells the sergeants to go back to the magistrates and tell them to come fetch us out of this prison themselves. And he wasn't trying to stir up any more trouble here. He really wasn't. I don't think he could have won a fight with them, you know, having been beat up pretty bad by him the day before, you know. But he was teaching those at Philippi a lesson. And the lesson boils down to this. It's the Lord who's in charge here, not the magistrates. Okay? 1 Chronicles 29:11. I'll give you a minute to get there, and then we'll go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Chronicles 29:11 tells us this. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Paul and Silas had indeed gotten the victory that midnight at the Philippian prison. And that victory came through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, you can imagine the spiritual high that Paul and Silas were on when these magistrates were sent, the sergeants, to come release them. And so, you know, go to 1 Corinthians 15. It was the Lord that had given the victory there from the prison and this whole circumstance that they were under there in Philippi. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God. 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So he wasn't trying to pick a fight with the magistrates. He was trying to underline the point that his focal point was the Lord. Amen. It was the Lord who was in charge here, not the magistrates. And so again, in verse 37, it was Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, that said unto the sergeants, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison, and now do they thrust us out privately? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out. And Paul, as he said this, was doing this as a demonstration of at least two things. First of all, he wanted to show the magistrates the love of God. And he could only do this in person. Have you ever seen that? Someone show someone that's treated them ill the love of God, a sinner. How else are you going to win them? And then think about this also in your bottom of his heart. Do you think Paul and Silas really wanted to see the magistrates ever again? I don't think so. Probably not, you know. But Events of the previous midnight had gotten them the victory over the magistrates, as we noted above. And Paul and Silas would show these sinful magistrates grace and forgiveness, as they also announced that they were also Roman citizens, a point that we will further address shortly. The second thing here is Paul and Silas called for the magistrates of Philippi to come fetch us out because they were standing up for the rights of all Christians. We're citizens of heaven if you're born again. We have certain rights and privileges. Are you willing to stand up for those? Paul and Silas didn't want these new born-again believers to be persecuted. They're Christians now too, the Philippian jailer and his household. And he didn't want them treated like he'd been treated. So we know that, and you can read Fox's Books of Martyrs and so forth, and you can know that such assaults of Christians continued and still continue to this day in certain parts of the world. But Paul put the Philippian magistrates on notice that this kind of treatment of Christians was not proper. Okay? And then realize something else here as we continue to look here and what's there in Acts 16:37. And that is, as an apostle of the Gentiles, our apostle Paul was also a teacher, and he was a master teacher, getting his guidance from the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost was here also teaching Paul a lesson that stuck with him the rest of his life. And then Paul was able to pass these lessons on to us. And probably one of the biggest lessons Paul learned here at Philippi was his rights as a Roman citizen. And he had expressed, let's say this way, had he expressed his rights as a Roman citizen the afternoon before, both him and Silas would have been spared a beating. But then, on the other hand, we wouldn't have the midnight Bible story that we've been reading about in Acts 16 and the story of the Philippian jailer and his household getting saved. So the Lord had his way. He always does. And Romans 8:28 is still in effect, because all things do work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose. So we can see a lot of different lessons were learned here by our apostle Paul. These lessons he passed on to us, and these lessons also spared him from future beatings. Here in Acts 16:37, Paul announces, "They have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans." And we talked about that a little bit before. The fact that Roman citizens had certain privileges that non-citizens didn't have. And these privileges included, one, the exemption from scourging. We violated that, the magistrates could have said. Secondly, freedom from arrest, except in certain extreme cases. We violated that too. And the next right, the right to appeal from the magistrates all the way up to the emperor, the Caesar. Thus, we find Paul and Silas were unjustly arrested according to Roman law and scourged contrary to Roman law and whipped and beaten with rods contrary to Roman law. And since it was illegal to torture a Roman citizen, and it was a heinous crime to bind a Roman citizen, the Roman magistrates of Philippi were in violation of the laws of the empire. The penalty for those who violated the law of the Roman Empire was death and the confiscation of their property. Those are pretty high charges that the magistrates would know they were under after learning that Paul and Silas were indeed Roman citizens. And all Paul and Silas now needed was a good lawyer, and these magistrates could be put to death. But that wasn't their frame of mind. And that shouldn't be our way of thinking either. And Paul and Silas already knew they had a good lawyer, an advocate who is Jesus Christ, who is currently sitting at the right hand of God the Father, ever making intercession for us. And though we may be unjustly treated, and we have every right to legal remedies, sometimes we're put through these kind of tests so we can become an overcomer. And that's exactly what was happening here with Paul and Silas. Go to Romans 8 again. We probably go there a lot. It's must be a good chapter to know. We'll start reading in verse 31. We'll read through 34 about the fact that Jesus is an intercessor for us. In Romans 8:31, we see this. This is Paul's gospel also. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. There's your lawyer. There's your advocate with the Father. And go to Philippians 4th chapter again. And the 6th verse we'll read. This was a lesson that Paul had learned and that he was passing on to these Philippian saints later, when he wrote to them in Philippians 4:6, be careful, that is, anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. When Paul and Silas were found singing and praying at midnight in the prison, what were they requesting in the prayer? Were they giving thanksgiving unto God? You know they were. And they were singing praises, thankfulness for what position he'd put them in, not knowing what was about to happen in the end result. By faith, they were living by faith. And so we know that note then that Paul and Silas didn't have any intention of having the Philippian magistrates put to death. But go to Acts 9. Paul did want to speak to them face to face, partly because of what he was told by Ananias of Damascus back in Acts 9:15. And this is what the Lord had told Ananias in the first place, before he even went to see Paul, who was then known as Saul of Tarsus, after he was saved. And this fact was then told by Ananias, no doubt, to our apostle Paul. And the Lord told Ananias of Damascus in Acts 9:15 that Paul is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings. To stop there. The magistrates were kind of like the kings of Philippi. And even though they were not kings, they were the authorities of Philippi, unto whom Paul was also sent unto as ambassadors for Christ. So as an ambassador for Christ, what's he going to tell them? You're toast. You know? We're going to have you put to death? No. What do you think he's going to say? Well, he's going to tell them a little bit about the Lord. You know, he probably did. And we find that Paul obviously knew that he would not be intimidated by the Roman authorities, as he had learned from Ananias of Damascus. And later in life, Paul would present his case and be a witness and a testimony of Jesus Christ before a governor named Felix, a governor named Festus, a king named Agrippa, and finally, Caesar himself. In the meanwhile, Paul was a minister and a witness to all he came in contact with along his God-given race course. It didn't matter who they were, what their position in life were, they needed Christ as their Savior. And that was his message. In Philippians 4:22, from his Roman prison quarters, Paul wrote a letter back to these Philippian saints, and he made this statement in Philippians 4:22, all the saints salute you from Rome. In other words, all the saints there in Rome salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. Had Paul not stood up in bearing the name of the Lord Jesus Christ before Roman authorities, he wouldn't have been able to witness or a testimony to these of Caesar's household. And so we find that as Paul stood up to the Roman authorities, he was also a witness and a testimony to those closely associated with these Roman authorities. And many of them became believers because of Paul's witness of Jesus Christ. Just as these saints of Caesar's household, we find in Philippians 4:22. So back in Acts 16:37, we find Paul teaching the same kind of lesson to the Philippian jailer, as he said unto the sergeants of Philippi in Acts 16:37, they have beat us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison, and now do they thrust us out privately? Nay, verily, let them come and fetch us out. In other words, Paul was saying that the magistrates had illegally, publicly oppressed two innocent and condemned citizens of Rome. They condemned them, threatening them as guilty. So in all fairness, let the magistrates now come and publicly declare Paul and Silas innocent. Now, do you think they did that? In doing so, they would have proclaimed that they were guilty of violating Roman law. But that was the request he was making of them. And might have a minute or two. Paul was not expressing his bravado here, but rather under the unction of the Holy Ghost, Paul was manifesting the freedom that a born-again believer has in Christ Jesus. Jesus himself taught in John 8:36, if the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. He knew that. Paul, of all people, knew the difference between law and grace. go to Galatians, the 5th chapter, and we'll read the first verse. And if we can finish this, this will be nice. Paul knew the difference between law and grace and the freedom we have in Christ Jesus. So he wrote in Galatians 5:1, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Now, Paul wrote this to the Galatian saints that were entangling themselves with the law of Moses, though as Christians they were free from the law of Moses. Here in Acts 16, at Philippi, we find the Roman rulers who were familiar with the law of the land, the Roman law, in other words. We find them not following Roman law. And Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, and as Roman citizens, they had certain Roman legal rights which had not been followed by the magistrates. As a Roman citizen and as a citizen of heaven, Paul knew that he had every right to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and not to be entangled again with the yoke of Roman bondage, paraphrasing the thought from Galatians 5:1. Paul and Silas already knew that it wasn't the magistrates who set them free. It was the Lord Jesus Christ who had freed them from this Roman prison. With that, we've run out of time. I'm not sure what the protocol will be next Sunday, but in the President's Day deal, they'll probably have one of the ministers do a sermon. If not, we'll have Sunday school, but during the same time.